following audio is from Covenant Life Fellowship. For more information about our church and to stay up to date on all sermons, events, and news, please visit our website at www.clfroseburg.com.
Guys, as we continue this year for men's ministry, I've been asked to talk tonight about disciplines and idols. And even more specific than the really broad topic of disciplines and idols, I've been asked tonight to focus in on one idol in particular. And you all know what that idol is. Tonight we're going to be talking about pornography. And I know, as soon as I said that word, you might be feeling one of three responses. First, immediately things just got awkward for you. This is not something that we talk about. And believe me, I feel the awkwardness. I'm right there with you. But don't worry. We'll get through this together. Hang in there with me. Or you may not personally struggle with pornography, but either you know someone who does, or you want to help those who do. And if this is you, first praise God that you do not struggle with this particular sin. And second, that there are brothers here tonight who need you to come alongside and help carry them to the finish line. They need the church. They need you to be willing to walk alongside them, not just for a couple weeks, but for years. And the third response you might be feeling is fear. As soon as I said we're going to be talking about pornography, your palms started to sweat a little. You adjusted how you sat in your seat, but not too much, because you don't want to give away the secret to the guys seated around you. And I know as I say that, everyone is just going to be not moving for the rest of the night. We're all going to be glued to our seats. Don't worry, guys. You can move around. But you believe that this is a secret that you cannot afford anyone else to know. Maybe you're a young man and now you're dreading the drive home. How do I avoid the conversation I'm going to have with Dad? How do I deflect? Or maybe you're a man who knows that this is wrong, but you can't quite seem to quit. Part of you loves it, and you hate that you love it. You know you need help, but you don't even know where to begin. And brothers, if this is you, let me be clear on two things. First, looking at pornography is a sin, and you need to confess and repent. It does not matter how infrequent you view it or the reasons for which you choose to view it. It is a sin against our most holy God, and you must confess and repent to God and to all those impacted by this sin. Second, Satan wants you to believe that you're the only one here who struggles. You're the weird one. You're the delinquent. Everyone else here has their lives in order, and it's probably just best if you kept your issues to yourself. I mean, you probably can get it figured out at some point, right? Best not to be a burden. And if that's you, don't believe Satan's lies. Don't believe him. Not only do you need help, but realize what you face. It's not unique to you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. What you face is not unique to you. And so what does this mean for you tonight if you struggle with pornography? It means that you're not alone. Other Christian brothers struggle with this, and other Christian brothers have struggled with this and have overcome it. But what's even more important than the fact that other brothers here have struggled with this? Hear these words from Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Guys, if you're struggling, bring your sin into the light. Recognize that our elder brother Jesus faced these temptations but did not sin. And now we get to approach his throne and draw upon his strength in our hour of need. Guys, remain in the darkness no longer. So, but before we dive in, just two housekeeping things. One, here's what we're going to be doing tonight, a roadmap of sorts for you. First, we're going to be looking at the porn problem. Then we're going to be looking at the gospel. And then finally, we're going to be looking at three Christian disciplines for fighting pornography. And those are God's word, fasting, and confession. And two, you all should have received a handout that says resources for fighting pornography. And the intention of this guide is twofold. It's meant to be a resource for both strugglers and for non-strugglers. For non-strugglers, you need to recognize that 30 years ago, it took effort to find pornography. You had to go to some CD store, show your face, actually ask another human being for it. Today, things have changed. It actually takes effort to not see pornography. So the first half of this handout was written with this in mind. How do you as dads, as granddads, uncles, aspiring dads, and anyone in between take action within your own home? Think of it this way. I would think that every one of us here would do everything in our power to stop an intruder if they came into our home to protect our wives and kids. And we actually take this so seriously already that before we go to bed, we make sure the windows are shut, the doors are locked, and our porch lights are on, so we can let everyone out there know there are people in this house and you're not invited. Well, ask yourself, have I taken the time to lock the digital doors of my home? And that's really one goal of this handout. It's a how-to on what to do to guard the eyes of our daughters and sons. And you'll find it all hopefully compiled together in the porn-free family plan. Additionally, you'll find resources from recommended books to read, software to install, helpful websites, smartphone alternatives, smartwatch alternatives, etc. And for those of us who don't have kids, don't think that this is not for you. Think for a moment. Do you want your nieces and nephews, granddaughters and grandsons, accessing pornography in your home on your devices? Do you want it to be in your home on your devices that they're first exposed to pornography? Take some steps to put some protective measures in place. Take some time to lock your digital doors. And the second group this guide is for the man presently struggling with porn. And if that's you, flip the whole thing over and start at the back. What you need are not measures in place. What you need is to bring your sin into the light. Confess your sin to God and to a mature fellow brother, like our resident biblical counselors, Robert Sidlow or Bill Hurd, and repent from your sin. Turn from your sin and live differently. Brothers, you need help to beat this. Don't fall into the lie that you can just white knuckle this thing on your own. So guys, as we begin, let's first pray. We need the Lord's help. Oh, Father, we come before you this evening and confess our utter dependency on you. And we praise your name that you presently are seated on your throne and preside as King over all things. Ah, Jesus, be glorified this evening, we pray. Amen. Amen. Back in 2004, at Kruger National Park in South Africa, there was a herd of Cape buffalo that approached a watering hole. Unbeknownst to them, there was actually a pride of lions crouching nearby in the brush. It's not clear if whether the lions pounced first or if the lead buffalo got spooked and started to run first. Regardless, a lioness was able to pick off a buffalo calf, and as she did, the two of them fell into the water together. Well, the rest of the lions got into the water to drag this calf out of the water, and as they did, two alligators attacked this calf as well. So, there's two alligators attacking this calf, there's a lion trying to drag this calf out of the water, and so a tug of war ensues with the calf in the middle. After a while, the alligators eventually give up. The lions drag this calf back out onto dry ground. And at this point, the lions all huddle around this buffalo calf, their lips smacking and the strongest jostling for who's going to get the largest share. Which brings us to our first point, the porn problem. The Bible refers to our adversary Satan as a lion who is constantly prowling around the earth seeking someone to kill. Hear these words from 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. A good word to all of us here tonight. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And let me tell you, he wants you to die at the idol of pornography. So, how big of an idol is porn for us today? Just how big is the porn problem? Well, here's some stats for us, and these are just for the United States. These stats are sobering and shocking. And what I want us to do tonight is think about what these numbers actually mean. These numbers reflect people, human beings made in the image of God, enslaved to sin. Pornhub, a website dedicated to pornographic content, was the fourth most visited website in the USA in 2023. In 1 month in 2023, Pornhub had more combined visits than Instagram, Netflix, Pinterest, and TikTok combined. When Playboy magazine launched in 1953, they sold 54,000 copies that year. That's 54,000 copies they sold that year. Pornhub in 2019 received 80,000 visitors. Every minute of every day that year. And pornography is big business. In 2023, the porn website industry matched the NCAA at over $1 billion of gross revenue. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. That's one in three. 81% of men 25 and under view porn regularly. Guys, don't miss that. 81% of men 25 and under view porn regularly. 11. Is the average age that a child is first exposed to pornography? Men, think for a moment. If you were exposed to porn when you were 11, would you have had the maturity to deal with it properly? Take the initiative to lock your digital doors. 94% of kids, 94% of kids will see porn by the time they reach 14. And keep in mind that this data is pre-COVID. This 11 years and 14 years is pre-COVID data. So I would expect these ages would be much younger today. Teens and young adults as a cohort, as a demographic group, rate not recycling as more immoral than viewing pornography. Anecdotally, for me personally, I have never met a guy my age or younger, that's 29 or younger, who has not struggled with this. Myself included. And the one that hits home for us today. 68% of Christian men view porn on a regular basis. And if we narrow our scope down to just Christian young adults aged 18 to 24, 76% view porn regularly. Which, guys, think about that number for a minute. That means, statistically, if you personally do not struggle with pornography, the guy to your left and the guy to your right does. I mean, take a second to let this hit you. Look to the guy to your left and the guy to your right. I know that's awkward, but see their faces and see how big of a problem this is for us, even in the church. So, saying that we have a problem seems like the understatement of the century, right? But guys, hear this. All of us hear this. These numbers are bleak. But our God, the God who is seated in the heavens and laughs at the schemes of the nations, is more powerful than pornography. Praise God. So let's take a look at our second point, the gospel. And the reason that we're doing this before we get to the disciplines, before we get to the put-ons, is if you're struggling tonight, this is what you need to hear. Hear the gospel. Marvel that God would send his son to save a sinner like you. Like me. Our talk here tonight is about something much better than pornography. It's about the amazing power of Christ to free you from the slavery, from the idolatry of porn. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Yeah, do not miss this. Listen to these words again. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible is clear here. There is powerful condemnation. All those who view pornography unrepentantly only have a fearful expectation of condemnation. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Men, do not be deceived. Confess and repent. But our passage continues. such? Or some of you? This is who you were. You were sexually immoral. You were an idolater. You were an adulterer. But praise be to God, this is not who you are now. Jesus can take you and put pornography in your past. This verse can be true for you tonight. The last time you viewed porn can indeed be the last time through the power available to us through Christ. And our passage continues even one step further. Guys, hear this and marvel at what has been accomplished by Christ. But you were washed. You who were sexually immoral, you were washed. You were sanctified. You who were an idolater, you were sanctified. You were justified. You who were an adulterer, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Guys, see the confidence we can have in Christ. He cleanses us from our sins and gives us the power to change. Yeah, we're gonna talk about disciplines for fighting pornography, but before we get there, you have to get this into your bones. Your only hope is Christ. Your hope is not in some program. Your hope is not in some secret discipline that's going to be revealed here tonight. Your hope, your only hope for truly beating pornography is Jesus. So brother, if you're struggling tonight, you need help. Bring your sin into the light. Do not remain in the darkness any longer. So, once you've confessed, what are some disciplines to employ to be active in your fight against pornography? I mean, let's be real, right? Once you've confessed, you still have old habits that need to change. Yeah, you want to put off pornography, but what are you going to put on in its place? Well, this leads us to our third point. Three Christian disciplines. And guys, at the outset, you should be asking, why discipline? Not should I be disciplined, but why? What's my goal? Why am I doing this? You know, it's really step one to any discipline workout program. Why are you waking up and willingly running at 4 a.m? I mean, that's crazy. Well, because I'm training for a marathon. Okay. I still think it's crazy, but okay. Or why do you spend all that time lifting weights? I mean, you're sore all the time, man. Well, because I'm trying to compete at such and such level or achieve such goal. So, with Christian disciplines, what's the goal? Because discipline without direction is drudgery. Well, listen to these words from 1 Timothy 4:7. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Or as the NASB translates it, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Guys, I love a verse like that. Discipline yourselves. For what? For godliness. Okay, let's do it. And this word translated here as both train and discipline, it's an active word. It's a word that has the smell of a gym behind it. In other words, as physical disciplines train your body and promote bodily strength, the Christian disciplines promote godliness. Your goal with Christian disciplines is to be more like Christ. And this quote captures our day so well. Ours is an undisciplined age. The old disciplines are breaking down. Above all, the discipline of divine grace is derided as legalism or is entirely unknown to a generation that is largely illiterate in the scriptures. We need the rugged strength of Christian character that can come only from discipline. So, brothers, are you going to be disciplined? You need to recognize that you will be a slave to something. You will either be a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And think for a moment. What would you rather be a slave to? Who do you think is a better master? And guys, you will worship. And let's be clear. That's exactly what looking at pornography is. It's worship of self. It's idolatry, plain and simple. And that's one of the benefits of Christian discipline. As you put off sin and attempt to be more like Christ, it's gonna take discipline. So, let's get into some practical disciplines for fighting pornography. There are many Christian disciplines, but for tonight, we're going to be looking at just three. We're going to be looking at God's Word, fasting, and confession. And here, I rely heavily on Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. If you're interested in learning more, I recommend picking up that book and reading it. I actually have it with me out back. So afterwards, come talk to me if you'd like to learn more. Anyways, first, God's Word. At the beginning, let me say, you ought to be spending regular time in God's Word. A survey conducted by the Barna Research Group found that only 18% of Christians, or 1 in 5, read their Bibles every day. Conversely, 23%, almost 1 in 4 professing Christians, say they never read God's Word. Take a second to examine yourself. Are you and your present day habits reflected in these results? Examine yourself in light of 1 Timothy 4:7. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And in regards to the study of God's Word, here's a painful quote from R.C. Sproul. Here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. Okay, Andrew, you say, I should be reading my Bible, but how? Do I just crack open my Bible, cram a couple of chapters in, slap it closed, and move on? Like, what does this actually look like? Well, here's three suggestions for us in the actual practice of the discipline of God's Word. It's time, memorization, and meditation. The first one is time. And I get it, guys. The Bible is a huge book. Most of us, if not all of us, have never read an 1,000-page book before. But let me break it down for you. Hopefully make it a little more approachable. It takes about 75 hours to listen to the Bible in its entirety as an audiobook. The average American spends about 6 hours daily watching TV and or scrolling through their phone. That daily 6 hours translates into 180 hours every single month. Altogether, that means that the average American could listen to the Bible in its entirety twice every single month and still have 30 hours left over with the time already spent on entertainment. Or, if that's a little extreme for you, consider this. If you spent 15 minutes daily reading your Bible, you'd be able to complete the entire Bible in less than a year. If that's too extreme for you, if you spent 5 minutes a day reading your Bible, it would take you less than 3 years to complete it. And look, guys, I'm not saying that all of us should listen to our Bible twice every month. Now, some of us here should. It's not good for you to be on your screens that much, especially if porn is a problem for you. But what I am saying, and what these statistics reveal, is that if something is important to you, you will find the time to do it. These stats show and confirm the quote from R.C. Sproul. Our problem of us not reading our Bibles is not a result of us not having the time. It's a result of us not having the discipline to do it. So men, find the time to be in God's Word. If something is important to you, you will find the time to make it happen. Now, the second suggestion for us as we look at the discipline of God's Word is memorize God's Word. And the question to all of us as we look at this suggestion is, do you truly believe 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17? It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, practically, we profess that the Bible is God's word, but functionally, do you live as if it truly does supply you with what you need to be complete? What you need to be equipped with for every good work? Is that how you treat your Bible? The Bible is God's armory for the Christian. And he's completely opened it up to you. He says, my son, you are headed off into battle, and any of my weapons are open to be used by you. All you have to do is take them. And what do? We take a look at his armory. The Tomahawk cruise missiles, the M4s, the Barrett 50 cals, the Car 98Ks, the M1 Grands. And then we look down at the Nerf gun in our hand and we think, yeah, this will do. Guys, how did Jesus fight the temptations of Satan? When Satan put something before Jesus to tempt him, how did Jesus respond? That's right. He quoted the Bible. And this may seem like a dumb question, but how was Jesus able to quote the Bible? He put it to memory. So, struggler, identify some verses and put them to memory. Raid God's armory and take heart in the knowledge of the verses contained within is everything you need for life and godliness. Practically, for me personally, if you exercise, this has been helpful. Instead of listening to music or listening to a podcast, write your verse out on a note card and take it with you on your run. Tape it to your squat rack. Tape it to your steering wheel. Make it the background of your phone and memorize it. And when you've memorized that verse, memorize the next one. And when you've memorized that verse, memorize the next one. Then the final suggestion for us as we look at the practice of the discipline of God's word is to meditate on it. And actually, meditation and memorization go hand in hand. Remember, men, we're not after discipline for discipline's sake. If that's all we're doing, it's faux religiosity. It's pharisaical. It's fake. And will benefit you nothing. No, what we're concerned about is being conformed to the image of Christ. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. If you're actively looking at pornography, you're worshiping an idol. You're meditating on worldly things, actively disciplining your mind in the ways of death. Meditation combats this. As Colossians 3:2 tells us, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And meditation is practical obedience to this verse by actively training your mind to not think on worldly things like pornography, by training it to be constantly thinking about God's word. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, "A Christian without meditation is like a soldier without weapons." Okay, so you've gathered weapons from God's armory by memorization. Yet, how do you know how to use them? I mean, you have this Tomahawk cruise missile in your hands. It's sweet. What do I do with this? Well, you learn how to use it by constant meditation. So how do we do that? We keep using this word meditation, but what does that actually mean to practice Christian meditation? First, Christian meditation is not an emptying of your mind like Eastern mysticism. No, Christian meditation, like we just read in Colossians 3, is setting your mind on things that are above. But how do we know? Like truly know something is from above? It comes from God's word. All scripture is breathed out by God. So Christian meditation, quite simply, is time spent seriously thinking about the truths contained within a passage and how you can apply it to your life today so that you might have some use of it in practice. Let me repeat that for us. Christian meditation is time spent seriously thinking about the truths contained within a verse and how you can apply it to your life today so that you might have some use of it in practice. Well, it seems simple enough. But how do you practically do this? Well, here's a really simple idea for us. First, sit down and pick a really short passage to meditate upon, like Colossians 3:2. Then meditate exclusively on one word from the verse at a time. So the verse is, set your minds on things that are above. You would read it and then meditate on that first word, set. And it would go something like this. Okay. What does it mean to set? Okay, that's fixate. That's focus upon. That's fix upon. Okay. Do I actually do this? How have I failed to do this? And what changes am I going to make to ensure that I focus my mind on the things of God? And once you have extracted and applied all the meaning from that one word you think there is, you simply move on to the next word. And brothers, this is a really effective way of seeing many of the different facets of a verse. But what's critical as you practice meditation is that you move from what the text means to how have I failed to live by it and what do I need to do as a result of it. We cannot be studying the Bible for mere head knowledge. It must affect our hearts. And meditation takes time. Don't rush through it. Guys, if that means you read less so you can meditate more, do that. What profit is there if you read 50 chapters but cannot remember a single truth? In all of this, for the discipline of God's word, I encourage you, make time for God's word. It must be a priority. And memorize it and meditate upon it. This leads us to the second discipline we're going to be looking at tonight, and that's fasting. And guys, here's a test of sorts, especially if you struggle with pornography. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm sure some of us are thinking, praise God. But what I do want you to see is that your struggle with porn is not some isolated part of your life. Sin's grip and its effects are far-reaching, farther-reaching than we often realize. So to the brother struggling with pornography, think of other areas in your life that you're undisciplined in. Do you say, I'm just going to have two cookies? And then 12 cookies later, you realize you should finally stop? Do you say, just one more YouTube video? And then before you know it, it's 1 a.m. and you're finally putting your phone down and going to bed. Or how have your habits changed over the years? You used to treat yourself to a fancy coffee only once every several weeks, but now you're getting it every day. Brothers, you must realize if you feed a desire, it will grow. Looking at pornography actively feeds and cultivates selfish desires. If you're looking at porn, you should not be shocked when selfishness arises in another area of your life. That's what you're actively disciplining yourself in. And this is where fasting comes into play. And brothers, let me tell you, if you're struggling, fasting is an amazing weapon God has gifted us to fight with. Because one, it's you actively saying, Lord, I can't beat this on my own. I desperately need your help. And two, it actively disciplines yourself to forsake fleshly desires. So, why fast? I mean, seriously, why should you forego food? And I mean that. Why should you forego food in your fight against sin? Well, quite simply, because the Bible assumes that we as Christians are going to fast. Matthew 6:16-17 says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." To what end though? Guys, we've already discussed pornography is idolatry. And if you don't replace it with the right worship of God, you're merely going to swap it out for a more respectable sin. So we fast with a biblical purpose. And fasting, really on its most basic level, goes like this. You abstain from food for a period of time. And eventually, your stomach tells you, hey man, I'd really like some food. And then you say, right, I'm hungry because I'm fasting today. Then your next thought should be, and I'm fasting for this purpose. And then you pray to God and ask for his help. If you don't have a clear purpose, your fasting will merely become a clock watching session as you watch each brutal minute pass by until you're finally able to indulge on whatever food your mind has fixated itself upon. So, you might fast for a multiplicity of reasons, but for the struggler specifically, you may be fasting to overcome temptation and dedicate yourself to God, or to express repentance and to return to God. This is something we often see in the Bible. And just one word of warning regarding a more physical discipline like fasting. If you're enslaved to pornography, you may be tempted to do this as a means to drown out conviction from the Holy Spirit in your life about forsaking this sin. Brothers, before you fast, confess and repent of your sin. Confess it to God and confess it to a mature fellow brother. Deal with your sin. Hate your sin and then use discipline as a means to propel you towards the finish line. The Puritan Thomas Boston said, "In vain will ye fast and pretend to be humbled for our sins and make confession of them. If our love of sin be not turned into hatred, our liking of it into loathing, and our cleaving to it into a longing to be rid of it." Brothers, deal with your sin. Which leads us to the final discipline we're looking at tonight. That's confession. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, "Whoever conceals his transgressions, whoever conceals his sins, will not prosper." but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Brothers, God in his kindness has not only given us his son Jesus, who is the only mediator between God and man, he has also gifted us with the church. God instructs us to confess our sins also to one another. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Whoever conceals his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So, what does this look like? Especially if you're struggling tonight. Well, multiple times I've said, confess to some mature brothers. There is value in confessing to your friends and having them help you stay accountable. Yes. But you need help from a brother who is not struggling with this. So confess to one of our elders or to our biblical counselor, Robert Sidlow. And when you confess, be specific. You will be tempted to make things seem less bad than they actually are. You'll be tempted to say, I'm just really struggling with lust right now. But things are getting better. Things are getting better. When by lust, you mean that you're looking at pornography, and by better, you mean you haven't looked at porn for the past 24 hours. No, man. Be specific in your confession. Drag what lives in the darkness out into the light. For what thrives in darkness dies in light. Whoever conceals his sins will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And you guys remember that poor Cape Buffalo calf at the beginning of our talk? The one that got attacked by the pride of lions, fell in the water, got attacked by two alligators as well. That calf. Well, last we left him, the lions were sitting down to feast on him. But the story for our calf, it didn't end here. For what the lions didn't realize as they sat down to eat is that the herd has come back for the calf. One buffalo began the confrontation by swiping at one of the lions with his horns. Another tossed a lion into the air. One by one, the lions are gored, trampled, and shooed away, and our calf is able to slowly but surely get up and walk free. Brothers, this is a beautiful picture of the church, especially for guys who struggle with pornography. Brothers, if you struggle with porn, see yourself in this calf. Recognize that you are helpless. You need the herd. You need the people of God. You need these men who are seated around you tonight. Garrett Kell rightly says, the church is a primary means God uses to help you persevere in faith and be conformed to Jesus. You will not grow in purity or maturity apart from gospel community. Yet, what would have happened to our poor calf if he stayed silent? If he thought, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I think I can get out of the situation on my own. or if he thought, I'm just so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. How could I have let these lions capture me? He would have died. No. With all of his might, he's crying out, I need help. Somebody, please help. For how is the herd to help if they don't know what the calf is up against? How are fellow believers to help you, brothers, if you keep your struggle with pornography to yourself? And yeah, confession is painful. Bonhoeffer says, confession in the presence of a brother is the profoundest kind of humiliation. It hurts. It cuts a man down. It's a dreadful blow to pride. In the confession of concrete sins, the old man dies a painful, shameful death before the eyes of a brother. Because this humiliation is so hard, we continually scheme to avoid it. Yet, in the deep mental and physical pain of humiliation before a brother, we experience our rescue. So, if you're struggling tonight, confess to some mature brothers. For how are they to know unless you tell them? Man, right now, I'm being mauled by a pride of lions and two alligators. And I can't beat this on my own. And if you're not struggling, there are brothers here who need your help to make it to the finish line. And to all of us tonight, I leave us with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is who you were. It doesn't have to be who you are. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. And as we pray, guys, we're just gonna take a moment. Do business with God. Confess your sins to Him. Lord Jesus, words fail us as we consider the depths of our sin in light of the unmeasurable riches of your grace that's been freely extended to us. We praise your name tonight, and we will praise your name for all eternity. I pray for the guy who's struggling right now. Holy Spirit, convict him of his sin. May he not leave here tonight without confessing his sins to you as well as to another brother. I pray for all the men here with children in their lives. What a great blessing kids are. May we as a church protect our children from the wicked snare of pornography. Lord, we ask you, protect our kids. And Jesus, we long for the day when you will make all things new. So we cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. Until that day, may we be faithful. It is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
This sermon has been proudly given in response to cherishing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to watch all our sermons online. For more information about Covenant Life Fellowship, visit us on the web at www.clfroseburg.com.